Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We are talking about trauma and memory today. And on our social media channel, the posts we do about how trauma affects our memory are by far the most popular posts. And I think it's because it just really resonates with people who have had trauma.
Yes, I think this is a really fascinating topic. And it makes sense to me that people are really interested in this, because once you've experienced a traumatic event, especially right after the overwhelming or traumatic event, your brain captures memory in a totally different way. It actually is now functioning on high alert, usually either in fight or flight, or you could be in a collapse state, such as dorsal vagal, which is freeze. And when our nervous system is in either of those states, we actually cannot capture information. We don't retain it the same way. And we lose bits and pieces of information.
I think that's a great point. One of the things we know is that during the traumatic event, our memory captures things almost like snapshots, little snapshots. And that is because the brain is trying to memorize sights, sounds, smells, etc., so that it can try and keep us safe. In other words, warn us when anything remotely similar happens again. So we know that memory in the moment is captured in a way that's very intense and almost like one of those flip books that you see.
Yeah. For most people, it's usually in color. And I love that you identified all the other senses that get contained or captured in memory during an overwhelming or traumatic event. So we have the memory, how the memory is impacted by things during the event. And I remember one of my EMDR trainings, we talked about those things you listed as neuroclusters. So you have this main event, which maybe was a car accident, but you also have these other things, like what you could smell as the car was hitting you from behind, what the light was like what time of day it was, the screeching of brakes, that kind of thing, if your kids were in the car. And so those neuroclusters get captured in memory that's not usually conscious, but that's where we get a lot of triggers, is from the way the brain captures the whole experience intensely in that moment.
I know of people who have had car accidents during a certain weather event, and now anytime they see on the weather app that similar weather is coming, it can be very disabling for them, really, quite frankly. And so a lot of this is below the conscious level, but that's one way that memory is captured during the event. Memory is also deeply affected afterwards. Our ability to retain information, to remember in a neutral fashion. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are the after effects of memory?
When we've had a traumatic or overwhelming event, diagnostically, within the first 30 days, if you meet certain criteria, it's called acute stress disorder. You can't diagnose PTSD until the symptoms have lasted more than 30 days after the event. That's a perfect description of what's happening in your brain and your body. There is acute stress, and your body is functioning at a state of hypervigilance and hyperalert, and is not able to calm down enough. The brain can't calm down enough to retain information, to focus, to capture dates and details and deadlines and that sort of thing. And so memory is a really fascinating topic when it comes to trauma, because there's so many different aspects of it. But it's really important for our listeners to understand that when you've come out of a really distressing, terrifying, horrible, overwhelming event, it's going to take a little while for your brain and body to assimilate that so that you can get back to a pre-event memory functioning.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, with complex PTSD, unfortunately, we know a lot of times complex PTSD shows up in childhood with that sustained pattern. I know so many people that have very few childhood memories. There are other reasons you would have very few childhood memories, including, you know, ADHD, and a few other reasons. But in general, memory loss and lack of childhood memories is really common with people with complex PTSD. And that can be really destabilizing. I know for myself, I could not figure out why I didn't have any childhood memories. And when I was dating my now husband, he would ask about things in my childhood, like, oh, what about this? Or, you know, tell me something about this. And I had almost no recall. And now, even working with our friends who were our childhood friends, you know, Wendy will say, oh, do you remember when we did this? And I have no memory of it. Do you remember when you gave me this? I have no memory of it. And so that can be really difficult when we can't reconstruct even the good memories in childhood.
Yes. And usually with complex PTSD, the memory loss is going to be huge chunks of time. But you're right, that's not the only explanation for why we have lost a ton of time from our memory from childhood. There's also depression and anxiety. And as you mentioned, ADHD and anxiety, it's really common for people with anxiety to have gaps in memory, depending on how high their anxiety is.
Well, some of the research has shown that, you know, one research study that was done in 2021 looked at asylum seekers who were coming to the United States, And they showed that roughly 70% were diagnosed with PTSD. And out of those 70%, 20% exhibited symptoms of memory loss. So it's, you know, it's a good chunk of people that suffer from memory loss. Another study showed that the link between PTSD and the symptom severity can affect things like remembering everyday activities. And, you know, so it's not just that you can't remember the bad stuff. It can even be recalling your everyday life and events, which again can be really difficult. So we want to underscore that we see how this symptom can be really disruptive to optimal living.
Yes. And we want people to understand when you have difficulty with your memory, if you're aging, that's typical. And if you're very concerned, absolutely go seek medical advice. But also the more stressed you are, the less sleep you have, the more conflict there is in your life, the environment in which you live, if it's dangerous, whether it's because there's danger in your home from somebody who's violent or in your neighborhood, all of those things affect your ability to focus, to concentrate, and to capture information.
That's right. And one of the ways that you can start to treat memory loss is to get treatment for trauma. And as we've talked about before, seeking treatment from someone who is trained or certified in trauma is really important. We know that talk therapy can be helpful for a lot of things, but that is not the gold standard for trauma. So you want to go to someone that understands the multi-pronged approach to trauma treatment. The other thing you want to do is you want to stay active, not just with mental activities like playing brain games or learning new skills, but also regular physical activity actually improves our brain health, and it helps to slow down that cognitive decline we can experience. Lena already mentioned prioritizing sleep. That's so important. And then the last thing is sometimes, I mean, I set an alarm for everything. There is no shame in setting an alarm, writing things down, making sure you've got multiple ways of reminding yourself of important events. So acknowledging that we have some memory loss and then using some different aids to kind of help us throughout the day, there's no shame in that. And, you know, that's how I live my life.
That's great. I've always had kind of a crappy memory because, you know, I was diagnosed at 49 with ADHD and attentive type, which made my whole life make sense. But then I had a stroke in 2019 and I was really in trouble with my memory. So I figured out lots of little hacks to do to help me with my memory. One thing Amy mentioned was setting an alarm, and about 8 years ago, I realized that when I set the alarm, I had to label it, because if I didn't label it, then the alarm would go off and I would have no idea what it was for. Right. And then I'd panic because I like literally could not remember why my alarm was set, but I knew it was set for something important. Yeah. I guess basically we want everyone to know that if you can just notice without judgment, whatever's happening with your memory, whether or not you have gaps in your memory, if you're having difficulty focusing or capturing information, if you can notice all of that without judgment, you actually have a better chance of keeping your brain and your body less activated so that you are able to focus better. And you're able to retain information better. And that this issue with memory is really common. And it does not mean that you have dementia or early onset Alzheimer's. If you do have significant concerns about your memory, certainly seek medical attention, because we want to make sure that we capture anything as soon as possible. But if you've had trauma or a traumatic event, just know that it's pretty normal.
It, for me, learning about the memory changes and even the structure of the brain and how it changes after trauma really helped me accept that this is not some inherent flaw. It's just part, it's just another symptom that comes from trauma. And with that reframe, it took a lot of the shame out of it. So I love that you're encouraging our listeners to just be benevolently curious and notice without judgment.
Yes, I love that you're mentioning shame. And you know, a lot of people have experienced problems with memory after the pandemic. The pandemic and the isolating, the sheltering in place, all of that was hugely disruptive of our connections with other people, but it was also disruptive of our daily routine. And so it is really interesting to see how people have their memory impacted by the trauma of the pandemic and what we had to do to stay safe.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, thanks again for joining us, everyone. We really appreciate you tuning in, and we look forward to being with you next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health, and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.